CliffCentral.com. As we drove through the golf course, the greens were so perfectly green and ripe, they looked tasty. The best a golf course can look. Chad never spoke about his home, and I never spoke about mine. We were like brothers, and although he was a white kid with jet black spiked hair, people genuinely thought we were siblings. So much so, our high school psychology counselor once asked. We met in middle school at 13 years old. We had a lot in common. We both were above average, smart kids, and insanely obsessed with all things Michael Jordan. 4 years into our friendship, and this was the first time I was visiting his home. He still had never visited mine. At 17 years old, we were both quite independent. We both had been driving for a year and a half at this time. He drove a European Saab, very sexy car. I drove an old beat-up Toyota. Whenever the new Jordans came out, very expensive shoe, he would be one of the first to get a pair. My family couldn't afford them. Yes, this was a big deal, but maybe because I was fairly popular due to playing all three of our sports, baseball, basketball, and football, and he didn't play any, maybe I processed this as we were kind of equal. Even despite all these differences in class, he from an upper middle class and me from a lower middle class, we were brothers. And visiting his home on this summer afternoon after class felt perfectly natural. In retrospect, I'm not sure what I expected. I knew it had to be better than my home on the farm, but nothing prepared me for what I would see. It wasn't that he lived in some sort of palatial mansion, but it was clear this was a class above. As we parked and walked in, the first thing that stood out was the smell. The air, the sidewalk, the trees, the garage, it all smelled different. It didn't smell like struggle. I can remember Chad speaking, but the smell startled me to such an extent, I didn't even hear him. And then, out of nowhere, his mom came out of the kitchen and gave me the biggest bear hug ever. So I snapped out of it. She was one of my favorite people when she came to school. She always had a massive smile, smart, beautiful, and I never once felt anything besides Chad's brother around her. We came to Chad's house to watch Michael Jordan's documentary called Come Fly With Me. After 20 minutes, Chad disappeared into his room to speak to his new girlfriend over the phone. I was left alone. I looked around, and I felt like I belonged. Welcome back to the next episode. The Brain and Brand Show. I'm your host, Timothy Maurice, and this is the show where we explore the intersection between your brain and how you brand yourself, how people impact brands and brands impact the psyche of people. Today, I explore how who you follow and what you're exposed to changes how you engage and see the world. Christopher Lash, a great social critic, said, society reproduces its culture through people in the form of personality. Simply put, what Lash was saying is society lives in you, and who you become is proof. I hope at the end of this episode you'd be inspired to look at who you follow on social media and see it as a way to evolve your mindset and spark new ways of thinking about strategy and growth in this narrative-building world. I've discovered some fascinating data and insights by studying social media, and I want to share that with you. What if we've been looking at this whole racial and gender equality conversation wrong? Telling people to observe others from a distance and then treat them equally is what the world has been preaching. Love your brother, love your neighbor. You see, the love I received from Mrs. Smith, Chad's mom, is the primary reason I see whites the way I do now. The multiple times I spent over traditional dinners in Swaziland, in Swazi ceremony, is why I see Swazis in the light that I see them, not because I studied them. I'm comfortable around Zulu people because of the amount of time I've spent engaging on a very neutral level where it wasn't about them being Zulu and me being Black American. Swazis are naturally comfortable to me. White people are comfortable to me. So, since people who look and sound like each other tend to connect with each other, how do we get people to love and engage each other outside of work and in forced spaces? How do we create an appetite for each other, a natural one that's not forced? You know, this workplace training, this bias training, where we try to force people to engage, it's not working and it's not going to work. So stay with me. Hang out. I don't like talking about race. In fact, I don't believe in the concept. So what I want to do is just share something with you that I think you'll find very interesting. So stay tuned. This episode is not designed to preach to you about race at all. It is, however, to share with you my findings from social media, to share a few data points and any correlations you pick up. Well, that's yours to ponder over. I'm not here to shove anything down your throat. Let's hang out. I first became intrigued and interested about how who you follow can inform perspective when the highly educated Judge Mabel Jansen was rightly excoriated for making offensive comments about Black African men and rapist patterns. She was speaking from her experiences as a judge, and no one can take her experiences and her experienced perspective away from her. But what was clear is that her experiences appeared to be limited. My knee-jerk reaction to what she had posted on social media and said to a group of friends, I think on Facebook, was to measure her experiences against mine. Immediately, I thought about everyone I knew, every piece of material I had read, the films and books, and it dawned on me that the totality of my perspective included some of what she said, but I also had far more to draw from. And because I had more examples of loyal Black African men who were the extreme opposite of rapist, beautiful men, beautiful fathers, beautiful brothers and sons, these patterns fill my perspective and overwhelm them. So I could never have arrived at the conclusion that she did. As I observed her extraordinary history as a judge, I decided to look at who she followed on social media, particularly Twitter. I found on her social media account she followed less than 5% non-white. You may think, what does who you follow have to do with your opinions and your perspectives and your beliefs? Well, who you follow speaks to what you're curious about and what you are curious about. What you're curious about hints at your passion and interest, and most importantly, the subtle subconscious patterns that it creates if you spend any amount of time on a social media platform, becomes a reservoir of associations and patterns that form the frames for your major biases. Essentially, if you spend a lot of time on social media, your brain is being programmed with associations and patterns that sit in your subconscious mind. If you only follow celebrities or actors or short people or tall people, a number of things happen when the majority of who you follow appear a particular way. Firstly, perspectives are emboldened and narrowed. Secondly, if you miss out on building a database of references that help offset historical biases, you're going to be limited. Let me just make this quite simple. That who you follow amplifies a particular position. And if you don't follow them, you're simply missing out on insight about people. Even if it's company and organizational accounts, at the end of the day, whatever you're following enlarges perspective about that group or about that organization. And who you're not following, you have a void. And you may think, okay, I'm watching news. I have historical patterns such as friends in my background, or I have media that I'm watching. The bottom line is, the amount of stimuli that you expose yourself through news feeds and so forth on social media creates a basis, a pattern, links in your subconscious mind. So I wanted to explore a number of correlations and associations. Take your time and get what you want out of this. So years ago, I decided, particularly on Twitter and Instagram, that I will make a habit of creating a balanced following for myself. I would proactively seek out people from diverse backgrounds to ensure the subtle priming and unconscious stimuli doesn't tilt me in one direction or the other. So let's get to my findings. I decided to take a few high-profile Twitter and Instagram accounts to see how diverse their followings are. And here goes. Let's start with the most powerful man in the world, Donald Trump, and work our way back to South Africa. On Twitter, Trump is following 45 accounts, 32 people, organizations, 13. How many black people do you think he's following? Zero at the time of this podcast. All whites. Let's come back to South Africa. I looked at a variety of people and I thought, let's explore this. Jackson Ntembu, ANC's chief whip. He's following 137 accounts. Whites, 18. Barely 12-13%. One of the most fascinating accounts that I looked at was an Instagram account. I looked at the first lady, one of the first ladies, President Zuma's wife. She's very popular on Instagram. It's First Lady Zuma. If you search First Lady Zuma, you'll find her account. She's following 118 accounts. How many white people? One. And this happens to be an Irishman. So technically, no white South Africans. Then I looked at a few white people. Let's look at the founder of this organization, Gareth Cliff. He's following 272 accounts on Twitter. Blacks, 35. He's following 13%. And Gareth is pretty open-minded, right? I looked at Steve Hoffmeyer. He's following 404 accounts on Twitter. He's following 6 black people, 1.5%. Then I looked at Trevor Noah. Trevor Noah has 239 accounts he's following. Whites, 100 people he's following, which is about 45%. And a whole lot of Asian and a whole lot of blacks. So, I'm not saying any of these people are racist. I'm simply saying, if we look at their accounts, what does it say about their curiosity? And more importantly, what does it say about what's in their mind buried in their subconscious mind? Feel free to check out mine. Go to my accounts. And when you hear these podcasts and you listen to them over and over, you hear me speaking about a lot of diversity. If you look on my show at the guest I have, there are a lot of different types of people who come on this show. That's on purpose. I want diverse opinions. I want diverse perspectives. I want a body of insights from all across the world. People's ecological orders, people's cultural backgrounds bring things that I could never consider myself. And no matter how educated you are, what I find interesting is that when you come with your own history and your own background, even if you're not right about something, it's a perspective worth exploring. Every time I'm home, I make a point to reach out to Chad and grab dinner. The last time I was in America visiting my family, my father hosted a dinner for me. It had been at least 12 months since I was there with the family. So he hosted a relaxed evening. Now, my father is from a segregated background where schools just were not mixed. He comes from an area where even the churches are segregated. So if my dad was on Twitter, I doubt he would be following many whites, Asian or Latino. At this dinner he hosted for me, because it was a surprise, he didn't ask me who to invite. So he invited family and a few of his friends. Out of 35 people who showed up, there were 2 white people. One was Chad, because he lived nearby, so I phoned him to come once I had arrived. The other was my cousin's girlfriend. You see, my dad's excuse is that he grew up in a segregated area where he had very little exposure to white people. And maybe this is your excuse that you don't follow many people outside of your race. Whatever the reason, my dad is retired, so his contribution to creative concepts and to society is very limited. He has very little left to contribute. But depending on your age, you may want to think about this. Beyond the risk of making limited comments like Judge Mabel Jansen, the opportunity to create amazing work and see the world from a more eclectic lens is simply far more rewarding. And, as studies show, when you engage diversity, you engage far more profit. We'll be back next week with the next episode of the Brain and Brand Show. Continue subscribing, continue sharing wherever you get your podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, CliffCentral.com, it doesn't matter. Continue sharing and rating. I really appreciate it. And I love your feedback, particularly on this show. I'd like to know your thoughts after you go back and look at who you're following and what that may or may not say about you. CliffCentral.com.